We take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Jack Rozelle in a Sunday School seminar held at Glacier Bible Camp July 13, 1974. For your help and for your benefit, here is Dr. Jack Rozelle.
Well, good morning to you. It's good to have this opportunity to share. And when Brother Brewer asked me to share this hour, I began to pick my brain, you know, what do I have to share? It's been a while since I've pastored. And we were talking about our experience in Cut Bank, and he asked me what caused the church to grow. And I couldn't point to one thing, especially, that we could say caused our church to grow during those years. But I did recall that we had shared a philosophy of growth. It's a concept of the Christian life that I had learned back in college when I had contact with a friend who was a navigator, and he'd shared it with me, and I had studied it and sought it out in God's Word and had sought to apply it. And when I came to the pastorate, I began to share it. I remember sharing it with my board of deacons and telling them this is going to be our approach to the church and to its functions. And I remember sharing it with individuals. And that's what I'd like to share with you this morning. I believe with all of my heart that these principles will lead to growth because they're principles of God's Word. The thought that we have is that we as individuals grow and then the church grows because we are members of the church, the body of Christ. And growth doesn't take place in the church without it taking place in the individuals that make up the church. And so if you turn to John chapter 15, I'm going to move rapidly at first because I want to move into the book of Acts also and apply or at least have us see these principles at work in the New Testament church. But we want to begin in John 15. These are words that Jesus shared with his disciples toward the end of his ministry. And he uses here the analogy of the vine and the branches. He likens our relationship to him as the relationship of the branch to the vine. And let's just read the first few verses. We'll not read the whole chapter, though we are going to talk about concepts in the whole chapter. He said, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. This began in my life as a personal philosophy of the Christian life and growth. And I guess over the years I've shared it with a number of new converts, people who have come to Christ, and shared with them that if they'll just apply these principles, there will be fruit, there will be growth. And I think when it comes to church growth and Sunday school growth, we need to refine or sharpen our concept of what we mean. What do we mean when we talk about fruit? Probably the most common thought that comes to our mind is that fruit is a numerical kind of thing. And we think of numbers. And I think this is part of fruit. And certainly in the New Testament, we see the fruit of the harvest. Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, look unto the fields, for they're white, ready to harvest. And on another occasion it says he looked on the multitude, Matthew chapter 9, and he saw them. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. He saw them in their weakened condition, in their need spiritually. And he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. So I think it is biblical for us to think in terms of numbers. When we move to the New Testament church in the book of Acts, we find there that the Lord added many to the church daily. That there were hundreds and thousands that came, and the number of the disciples increased. So I think this is scriptural for us to think in terms of numbers. That is one way of defining fruit. There's another way of defining fruit, and I think it's a valid way, and that is fruit in terms of character. Christ-likeness, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. In one sense, you see, when we talk about fruit of the harvest in numbers, we're talking about quantity. But when we talk about fruit of character in Christ-likeness, we're talking about quality. We're talking about a growth that is more than the adding to terms numerically. We're talking about a growth that comes out of the inner man and that is of the quality of Christ-likeness. And I think when we approach the church and the Sunday school, we need to think in terms of this kind of growth also. We're not only interested in seeing the Lord add to His church numerically, we are also interested in seeing that church mature and grow and become conformed to the image of Christ. And so we think of fruit in terms of Christ-likeness. Now, we can think of fruit also in terms of service or obedience to the Word of God. Jesus, on one occasion, was talking to His disciples in Luke chapter 15, or chapter 8, verse 15, and He said there, and this was the parable of the four kinds of soils, or the four hearts, you recall, and He talks about the good heart, and He said, those that have the good heart are those who receive the Word of God and keep it. They obey. They put it into practice. They respond to it. It changes their lives. And He said, they bring forth a hundredfold. And I believe the thought there is simply that there's a fruitfulness in service. That we simply hear the Word and keep it. We apply it. We do it. And in doing it, there is a multiplication of God's glory and His work in the lives of men. Now, Jesus is talking about fruitfulness in John 15. And He brings it down to right where we live. He says, you know, that if you abide in the vine, if you, the branch, abide in the vine, you're going to bring forth fruit. He says, if you don't abide in the vine, you're not going to bring forth fruit. He says, without me, you can do nothing. And He says, there are certain principles that will help you to abide. He said, if you abide and you don't bring forth fruit, then you're going to be pruned. You're going to be purged. You're going to be cut back like an orchard man that will come around and prune his trees so they'll be more fruitful. Or there's even the possibility of the branch being entirely cut off if it becomes dead and there's no fruit at all. So let's look at what Jesus says in this chapter with regard to fruitfulness. And I'm equating fruitfulness with the growth that we want to see in our Sunday schools, in our churches, and in our individual lives. And I think it begins with each of us individually. If we're going to have church growth, we have to have personal growth in each member, each one in the body of Christ. Now, the navigators have developed a concept, and this is modified a little, but I did pick up the idea from them, of the wheel representing the Christian life. The outer... The circle here represents the life of the believer, our life. And picture this as the outer rim of a wheel. It's that point where our lives touch other lives. Now, Jesus said that He wants to abide in us and He wants us to abide in Him. So we're going to make a hub in the wheel, and we're going to label that hub Christ. I want to abide in you, He says, and I want you to abide in me. So in a sense, we could also put Christ or God out here, couldn't we? And I have sometimes illustrated this concept of Him abiding in us and our abiding in Him like the little bottle that we take out. I go salmon fishing occasionally, living on the coast, and we get out where we can't see any land, and there's just water out there, and if you take a little bottle and you drop it in to the ocean at that point, it would immediately fill up with water. And we could say that the water is abiding in the bottle. The bottle is full of water. And it's all water. It's all ocean water, salt water. In the other sense, we could say that the bottle is abiding in the water. You see, it's full of the water, but it's in the water. And you could never think of putting all of the ocean in that little bottle, but all that's in the bottle is ocean. You see? And that's something of what it means for Christ to abide in us and for us to abide in Him. He wants to fill us. He wants to saturate us. We want to be full and running over. We talk about, fill my cup, Lord. Well, full to the top and running over, and yet abiding in Him. Abiding in Him. We are hid with Christ in God. We can have more and more and more and more and more and never have all of the ocean of God there. And yet all that's in us is God. And I suppose we could show this pictorially by simply expanding the circumference of the hub, that Christ wants to increasingly fill our lives. He wants us to be full of Him. We talk about being full of the Spirit. Now, so abiding means to continue, to remain. It means it speaks of consistency. It speaks of a relationship. You see, the branch and the vine, that's a relationship. There's a union there. It speaks of sharing of natures. You see, that branch draws the nature of the vine into itself, and that's what produces life. That's what brings the fruit. All the branch does is abide, and the fruit of the life comes, and the fruit then is developed on the branch. And so we, through our union in Christ, abide, you see, and we draw of His nature into our nature. And the branch, you see, has the nature of the vine. And what happens to the vine happens to the branch. We'll talk about this in a few moments. But when the storm comes and the vine bends in the storm, well, the branch bends too, you see. There's a likeness. There's a sharing of nature. There's a sharing of life. And it's all in that union, in that relationship. One day the branch doesn't say, I'm a member of the vine, and the next day I'm not a member of the vine. That would be death, you see. It has to continue to abide through all the seasons of the year if there's going to be life. There's a consistency and an intimacy and a closeness and a sharing of the divine nature. Now that's where it begins with us. That's where growth begins, in that abiding relationship. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you shall bring forth fruit. That's the principle. There it is. Now, if you move through the chapter, and it'd be fun to take time to have us read the whole chapter and have you sort some of these things out, but our time is limited this morning because we could take several hours right here, so I'm going to give you the principles and the verses. But in a wheel, we need some spokes, and we're going to place four spokes on this wheel. These spokes represent principles of abiding. We're going to label them and then identify some references in this chapter that speak to these points. One spoke is the spoke of the Word. Look at verse 3. Now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Look at verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. My words abide in you. The Word of God, you see, is a life source to us personally and in our Sunday schools. You see, the focus is Christ. And how do we learn of Christ? How do we get to know Him? How do we share of His nature? One way is through the ministry of the Word. Sometimes when I share this with young people, I talk about the Word of God as milk. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3. Talk about the Word of God as bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the very Word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Talk about the Word of God as meat. Paul said to the Corinthians, you are babes, you're carnal. I can't give you the meat. And in the Hebrews chapter 5, in the first part of chapter 6, he talks about the immature. And he says they couldn't take the meat. They had to take the milk of the Word. Now, you put that together, what do you have? You have a meat sandwich with a milk glass of milk. And that's a pretty good combination, isn't it? And that's exactly what we need, you see. We're going to abide in Him. We need food. We need to grow. Remember, there are five ways to take the Word of God into your life. And this is an illustration that has been used, the hand. You let each of the five ways be represented by a finger. Just like potatoes, you can boil them, you can bake them, you can mash them, you can fry them, and on and on. Well, the Word of God can be taken into our lives in five different ways. It can be taken in by hearing it. You heard it this morning when I read it. Luke 8:15. It can be taken in by reading it. Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:13, or 2 Timothy, I guess it is, 4:13. I didn't double check that. But he says, give thyself to reading. And I think a systematic approach to reading the Word of God in our lives and in our classes, in our Sunday schools. We can take the Word of God in by studying it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. We can take the Word of God into our lives by memorizing it. And this will show us the importance of a memory program, even in a Sunday school. I think for all age levels. We sometimes go up, you know, the first few years, and then we kind of drop off. But if I read my Bible correctly, I'm to memorize it and hide it in my heart even as an adult. The psalmist said, Psalm 119:9-11, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We can take the Word of God into our lives by meditating in it. Psalm 1. He talks about the contrast of the man who fellowships or counsels with the ungodly and sits with them and this kind of thing. And he says, but the man who meditates in the law day and night, he shall what? Be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. And you go through Psalm 119 and underline or circle the places where the psalmist talks about meditation. Meditating in thy precepts, meditating in the statutes. And it'll clean out the inner man. It'll feed the inner man. Now, the illustration is this, that you can hold a pencil with one finger and you don't really get a good grasp of it, do you? So someone could knock it out. You know, I don't have a lot of strength in my little finger. And you begin to apply fingers, you get a little better grasp. Now, if you apply all five ways to your life, all five ways is taking the Word of God in, and then begin to share that with your Sunday school, those that you teach, and with your church. You see, they're going to begin to grasp the Word. They'll have a hold on it. It'll be in their lives. And as I just quoted to you from Psalm 1:3, that will be a tree that will flourish. It'll bring forth fruit. And it'll prosper. Now, the Word of God, then, is a way of taking, or a way of abiding in Him. Also, you might want to jot down verses 11 and verse 20 in this chapter as relating to the Word. Another way is prayer. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Prayer. Prayer. I remember when we were pastoring in Cutbank, and one of the men who came to Christ during our pastorate there is sitting right here, Don Keene. And I remember on Saturday night we had a men's prayer meeting week after week after week after week. And Don Keene's name was called before the Lord and his family's name. And Don sits today in our presence, you see, as a result of prayer. Here was a group of men that gathered together in a church and prayed, applying a principle of God's Word, ask what ye will and it shall be done. And here's some fruit. Here's some fruit. And I think that's beautiful. Don is teaching a Sunday school class. You see, and he's bringing forth fruit. And that's the way it happens. That's the way it works. And amazingly to me, the glory belongs to God. It was nothing that I did. It was the people applying the principles of God's Word and bringing forth fruit. In about a three-year time, that little church doubled. And it was not uncommon to receive calls from various people like Don that were working in the church. Say, Pastor, could you come over to so-and-so's house? They've just accepted Christ. We want you to meet them and talk with them. Or, you know, so-and-so has received the Holy Spirit. Would you come over? The people, the branches, were bringing forth fruit. It wasn't the pastor. It was the people. It was the branches. And the community, as it were, was plucking, they were plucking fruit off of the branches of the tree. And that was beautiful to me. Prayer. Verse 16 talks about prayer also, that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Okay, we need to move on. Notice, and we'll not take time, but notice the conditions for prayer. Abide in me, my words abide in you, then ask what you will. Ask of the Father, ask in my name. They're all here. The conditions are important. Another principle is obey, or obedience. Obedience. Look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Obedience. We sometimes ask why we don't grow as individuals, why our churches don't grow, or our Sunday schools don't grow. Well, one of the questions that comes to my mind when I begin to feel stagnation in my life is, am I doing the things that I know I should be doing? You see, my uncle has an orchard, and there's just a basic principle of farming that he applies. If he cares for the trees in the appropriate way, fertilizes them, prunes them, and all of this, there's going to be fruit. And I believe that Jesus is trying to get that thought across to us. We sometimes put our focus out there on the fruit. I've got to bring forth fruit. I don't think that's where the focus should be. I think the focus should be on Christ. And we obey him out of love, and the fruit comes. It's a natural result of abiding in him. I don't think it's something we struggle for. I remember serving in a church, and the pastor and I, we had a tremendous relationship. We had a little different philosophy of the Christian life in the church, and he felt we should build the Sunday school solely on programs or contests. And I remember part of my responsibility was to develop the contest, and I never made up so many contests in all of my life. We had fishing contests and baseball contests and on and on and on. And we would grow numerically during those contests. But as soon as the contest was over, we'd go back down like this. And it became frustrating to me. And it seems to me that growth has to come from the inside out to be healthy and mature and lasting. You see, and I think it's rooted right in obeying. If we apply the principles of spiritual farming, we're going to grow. There's going to be fruit. So obedience, verses 9 and 10, verses 14, 15, and 16. In fact, Jesus says there that I have chosen you and that you should go and that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Your fruit should remain. Obey me. A fourth principle is the principle of witness. We didn't read the latter part of the chapter for the sake of time, but you'll note from verse 16 and following that Jesus begins to talk about his relationship to the world. And as a result of our union with him, our relationship to the world. And he says, if the world hated you, it's going to hate me. And he said, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. If a branch is going to abide in the vine, there's no way, you see, that it can hide that relationship. I mean, when you walk by and look at a branch, you know that it abides in the tree that's standing there, don't you? It's identified. It's part of it. It's part of the whole scene. And there's no way that we can disassociate ourselves from the vine as branches. The servant is not greater than his Lord. The same thing that happens to the vine or happened to the vine is going to happen to us. He went through some storms. The world hated him. We're going to go through some storms. The world's going to hate us because of what we stand for. All we bear witness to is that, hey, I abide in the vine. I'm related to him. You see, and what happens then out here, whether another branch is grafted in or not, that's not our business. That's God's work. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the vine dresser. He grafts in other branches. All we have to do is say, I abide. I abide, and this is what's happening to me. All we have to do is abide and let the Christ-likeness of our lives come out. You see, so the fruit is there and is evidence. By their fruit, you shall know them. You see, and I think this is where growth is at. We bear witness to the relationship that we have. Now, we know what happens if we have a car with a wheel out of balance. We get on the road, thumpity, 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 thump. Now, there's some Christian lives that are going down the road, thumpity, 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 thump. We won't mention any names, huh? Maybe it's our lives. Could it be that one of the spokes is missing? Could it be that one of the spokes is short? I suppose I first picked up this concept some maybe 20 years ago, and I have sought to try to add to it, and I don't know what to add to it. Notice that every spoke is, there's an interrelationship. In other words, if you're going to obey, you have to be in prayer, you have to be in the Word, and you're going to be witnessing. And it's utterly useless to witness without being in prayer. And when you witness, what do? You share the Word, you see. When you pray, what do? Well, you really pray the Word. That's how we know God's will. When you're obeying, what are you doing? You're living the Word. I mean, each spoke is an interrelationship. Notice that they all come together in the person of Christ. And I think that's important. He's the vine. We are the branches. Sometimes, and I can recall times in my life where I read the Word of God because Christians read the Word of God. And that's okay, but that's not the highest motive that we can have. We read the Word of God, and we study the Word of God because it gives us and shares with us the nature of the person of Jesus Christ. It's His Word to us. He said, "Now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you." That's personal. His Word to us, you see. And notice that prayer focuses in Him. What is prayer? Prayer is simply me talking to Him, and in response, Him talking to me. Notice that obedience is really what? Obedience is really just doing what He asked me to do. Because I love Him. Witnessing is simply sharing what He's like in my life, what He's done for me. That which I have seen and heard declare I unto you. That's what John said in his first epistle. So, the spokes all focus in Christ. There's a person-centeredness, and I think growth is person-centered. Growth, you see, the ultimate concept of spiritual growth, and growth in the Sunday school and growth in the church, is that I grow in my relationship to Him.
This is the end of this side of the tape. Please turn cassette over for the remainder of the message.